I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jed, good morning. Thanks for taking some time out of your day for us.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Wonderfully. Great. Wonderfully. So, nice night for you guys last night. A good night for Kyle Hendricks as well. Things could be getting better, too, and healthier. Where is Chris Bryant physically? Where in the country is he? And how is the shoulder for Chris? You think Joe's penciling him in for the lineup this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, every indication I have is that he's going to play this afternoon, which is kind of perfect to play the afternoon game, get a day off on Thursday, play over the weekend, and then have the All-Star break. So we felt like that was a good way to kind of reintroduce him to the lineup. And obviously, he played the last 2 days in Tennessee, and he felt good. So, listen, I think we did a fantastic job of succeeding without him, but it's going to be awfully nice to have him back in the lineup.
So Jed, Chris had mentioned that the left shoulder pain may be a result of overuse, and we know how hard of a worker he is. What specifically will you guys have to watch or monitor with him the rest of the way here?
Yeah, it's a challenge because it's the kind of injury where, it's inflammation in his shoulder, and, he has kind of a high finish on his swing, and Chris hits a lot, hits all winter. This is more of a result of just, thousands and thousands of swings, and finally that shoulder, I think on the slide, got kind of angry, and we sort of had to take the time to calm it down. I think Chris is going to have to monitor his workload a little bit, and potentially have to monitor just how high that finish is, and maybe make some small adjustments to be able to take some of the pressure off that. I think that's stuff that he's working on and thinking about. Now, obviously, he doesn't want to change his swing dramatically, but this is like small things that may help out, because it's the kind of thing that it can get angry and it can get inflamed, and that really affects them. So hopefully we can do a good job of monitoring that shoulder the rest of the year, and hopefully he can take off.
Cubs GM Jed Hoyer joining the Bernstein and McKnight show to start things off today. So I imagine with Chris too, you guys have built a roster that has some redundancy in it, the good kind of redundancy. You've seen the team be able to cover for him or cover with him out the last couple of days. Well, you figure Joe's got to be a little creative here as well to avoid that shoulder barking at him and getting angry at him the rest of the way? Or is that going to be a Chris needs to speak up kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that's probably the latter. I think that, if he feels like he needs a day, he needs to tell us. Obviously, you want Chris Bryant, playing every day, given all the things he does to help us win. So, our expectation and hope is that he can play every day. But if he does need a day off because he gets inflamed, then obviously we'll do that. And I think we talk about, having a set lineup and playing the same guys every day. And that's always a controversy amongst our fan base. But I think we just saw the benefit of having a really deep roster is that, we lost, one of the best players in the National League for a few weeks, and we didn't miss a beat. And I think we did that because we have a lot of depth, and part of having that depth is not being able to have a set lineup. We have to be able to mix and match guys, and I think we just saw the benefit firsthand.
The rotation has stepped up so far in San Francisco. Kyle Hendricks picked Dandy despite you guys losing that first one, and then Jose Quintana had that swing and miss back on the curveball and good command of the fastball. Refreshing, invigorating. I know you guys assume that these are the talented guys that are going to make up the rotation, but it'd been a little bit of a choppy start for them, and to go back to back like that, I think was reassuring for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was really nice to see. I think Q last night pitched well, and hopefully he can take that start into the All-Star break, feel good about it. Build on that, and I thought Kyle looked like vintage Kyle Hendricks the other night. I mean, pinpoint command, everyone was off balance. One random run scored against him. Otherwise, I think he probably throws a complete game shutout. And it was just nice to see, when he gets like that and gets in that kind of groove, for me, he's as fun to watch as anyone because there's no misses. Every pitch has intent, and that's what it looked like. And he's been saying that to us for a few weeks, like, hey, I'm really close. And hopefully that's what we saw the other night.
Jed, so then you got Mike Montgomery on the Hill this afternoon. What has stood out to you in his last three starts? 302 batting average, 5.6 ERA, and 10 earned runs over that stretch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think he was so extremely good before that. I think he, you know, probably somewhat of an inevitable, you know, dip. I think he wasn't going to be able to continue to perform at quite that level. I think with him, you know, to me, you know, if he can get ahead of guys, you know, with the combination of the curveball and changeup, once he's ahead of you in the count, he's so incredibly hard to hit. And I think, you know, for him, you know, pitching ahead in the count, putting hitters on the defensive, I think he's been behind a little bit more, and as a result, given up some damage. But he's been great for us, and you know, hopefully he can have, just like I said about Q, hopefully he can have a good start and then sort of take that into the All-Star break and feel really good about his first half.
What kind of expectations should Mike Montgomery have coming out of the All-Star break? I know Jim Hickey was on the show on Molly and Hanley a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I believe it was, mentioning it'd be a little optimistic for Yu Darvish to get a start before the trade deadline runs out, before this month runs out. How is Yu feeling? Where's he at? And what are the expectations for his return?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing catch right now. I think he's playing catch again today. Our hope is that, you know, he keeps on progressing well and eventually gets to a place where he's, just, you know, ready to take off. But there's some uncertainty, obviously, you know, given his status. You know, he went, you know, he threw a sim game and threw a rehab start for us before and then had to get shut back down. So there's nothing I want more than to have him out there pitching well, and that would help our second half immensely. But at the same time, I think you mentioned Mike Montgomery. I think we have to go forward thinking about our depth, you know, thinking about, you know, having enough pitching, and you know, you coming back would be fantastic. But at the same time, you know, injuries can linger and things can extend, and we have to be aware of that as we move forward.
We're talking to Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer. Jed, how does the uncertainty with Yu's fitness affect the approach to the trade deadline then?
Well, I think that, you know, we have a little bit of time before that. I think that we'll try to use a lot of that time to get a sense of that. Obviously, it does have an impact. I mean, you'd be lying to say it doesn't. I think we have to, you know, we have to have as much pitching as we possibly can. We have some long stretches in the second half without off days and things like that. So I think that, you know, we're going to be, you know, talking to a lot of teams about pitching and pitching depth at the deadline. And, you know, I think that at some level, use availability probably does play into that. But at the same time, like I said, we're going to need that depth regardless because of our schedule. And we'll be, you know, like I said, we'll be talking to a lot of teams and exploring a lot of opportunities, you know, to find that depth.
Can you evaluate, or at least coming up to the deadline here, do you value relievers almost at a higher level than ever before, or as it pertains to starters that you might go out and acquire too, if it's not, you know, top end type guys, you know, ace type players that have been there before? With the way baseball has gone, with the number of players that have been used, we just went over 1,200 players used in the season, which tests everybody's depth, not just a singular organization. Yep. I mean, you now have to, I imagine, like the relative value of relievers now on your board are much higher than you remember putting them in the past.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the way that playoff baseball is played now, you know, you don't see a lot of seven-inning starts, you know, and teams are going to the bullpen early, and you know, I think that we sort of got away with it in 16 by riding Chapman really hard, you know. But you know, that year it wasn't like we had probably the necessary depth in the bullpen, and as a result, you saw at the end of the series we had to be creative. And then I think last year, you know, our bullpen faltered down the stretch, and we probably didn't have enough depth. So I think that's something we have to really look at. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the game is played differently in the playoffs, and frankly, that some of that is kind of bleeding into the season, and teams are shortening games up and not relying on starters as much, and that really does put a premium on bullpen guys.
So, Jed, with the home run derby that's coming up in just a couple of days here, it sounds like you're going to have two participants in it, in Javi Baez and Kyle Schwarber. There's a lot of fun in that event. There's a lot of myth-making that goes into, or at least after, that event. Where are you guys as an organization on the math of whether or not it affects a swing, whether or not it taxes a guy? People remember the Bobby Abreu thing, or at least I do. I don't know why that sticks out in my head. But by and large, it seems like this is a fun event that, as long as it doesn't overtire a guy, seems to be ready to roll.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting because I think a lot of the stuff you think about, like Abreu, is what jumps to my mind as well. And,
yeah.
You know, some of that stuff is anecdotal. You know, for me, it's a fun event. And I think for both those guys who have taken, you know, a gazillion swings in batting practice, and Lord knows those guys try to hit a lot of homers in batting practice. I mean, I think it's sort of a bucket list thing for them. And I totally understand that. I mean, I couldn't be more excited, you know, for Wilson and for Javi, you know, starting an all-star game. And you try to put yourself in their shoes, you know, when they're, you know, how many swings or how many ground balls they've taken in their whole life and, you know, hoping to be an all-star. And so, I feel like the home run derby for a lot of players is kind of the same thing, that, you know, all those times they took batting practice, the idea of being in the home run derby in the all-star game is a bucket list thing. And to deny a guy like Kyle that, or a guy like Javi, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, they're going to have a blast, you know, they're going to try to win, but I think regardless, it's going to be something they'll always remember. And I think in that regard, you know, going into sort of the myth-making of the home run derby is not worth it. It's just, you know, let them have fun, and hopefully one of those guys wins it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jed, handicap this for you, for us. Who you got? Who you got, Schwarber or Baez?
yeah, that's really hard. It's picking between your kids. You know, I hope they put on a good show. You know, I think that yeah, I'll say this. I'll take Kyle on the total distance. I don't know who hits the most, but if I was forced to bet on one guy to hit the longest one, I think I'd probably take Kyle.
Fair enough.
No, we'll have to check up with you on that. We'll measure total distance on StatCast or something. With you mentioned your all-star catcher, right? And to be honest, it's kind of a fascinating journey he's had through the minor leagues. He wasn't a pick of your regime, and yet the changeover from one position to another has been interesting. Do you guys take, you know, that case in and of itself and look at what you learned about player development from him, or is it so much an outlier? Is every case so specific that it's tough to do? Because it seems you don't see that often, that kind of position switch. You often see guys leaving the catcher spot and going to another place and perhaps excelling. It seems like an odd or at least kind of an outlier that maybe you can draw from.
Yeah, I mean, he really is a fascinating player development case. And I remember our first summer here, you know, flying out to Boise for the playoffs, and Wilson was playing, and he was this wild, sort of out of control colt. You know, you could see all the talent, but he just, you know, wasn't totally in control. And that was always the knock, was that this guy's tools are off the charts, and everyone loves him as a person, but, you know, there was times that he was sort of out of control, and he needed to sort of tone things down a little bit. And, you know, with maturity, he all of a sudden exploded in 2015. You know, he's had an incredible year. And I think that's one thing I probably learned and took away from the experience, is just that, you know, when it clicks, it can really click for guys. You know, that, you know, sometimes all of a sudden the light goes on and things really pop. And it would have been easy in 2015 to just say, oh, you know, well, this is a, you know, he's not, this isn't real. This is, you know, he's, I think leading the Southern, leading the league in hitting, and this isn't real, or this is random. And with him, that was just the springboard. He figured it out that year and really took off. And so that's probably the biggest thing I learned, is just, you know, sometimes when light really goes on for guys, it stays on. And you look at what he's done since. I mean, I couldn't be more happy for him. You know, he wasn't a top prospect on the way through. It wasn't a guy that people talked about, and this guy starting the All-Star game, and deservedly so, is a pretty amazing thing.
Jed, what are your lasting impressions of David Bodie's stint up these last couple weeks?
I think the thing that impresses me most is that he looks completely comfortable playing in the big leagues. You know, his clock defensively has been outstanding. You know, no anxiety or nerves. You know, making the right play. You know, making some really difficult plays look easy. I just think he looks relaxed and calm, and he looks like, you know, when he goes to bed at night, I think he feels like he belongs in the big leagues, and that's how he plays. And that's probably the thing that sticks out for me the most, is that, you know, we know how hard he hits the ball. We know he can hit. We know he's versatile. But you never know. Sometimes when a guy comes up to the big leagues the first couple of times, they don't look like they're ready. They look anxious, or they look nervous, you know, and David looks calm, and I think his performance has really reflected that.
You know, you and Theo, Jed, are in this kind of unique position with Anthony Rizzo and your connection to him, having drafted him, having traded for him again. The connection is deep, and he's in a bit of a slump lately, and the numbers for him this season haven't looked like numbers past, specifically against left-handers. I wonder if this is reminiscent of things you've seen before. You know, his first call-up in San Diego was rough. Where is the comfortability level with Anthony Rizzo at this point, and how much... how much might the All-Star break help?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, you know, really since he established himself as an elite player, you know, he hasn't had these kind of extended slumps. I mean, he's been amazingly consistent. But that said, I think I've seen him struggle in the past. I know he has the strength and the willingness to make adjustments to get out of it. And I just feel like, you know, to me, I look at it and think, I think it's a positive that, you know, we've had, you know, terrific offense in the first half. A lot of guys have contributed, and there's guys that will, you know, may not have as good a second half as they did a first half. That's being realistic, and I think that knowing that, you know, Anthony is pretty likely to have a great second half, I think it makes me feel really good about it. You know, this guy is an elite player. I think the All-Star break is going to help him a ton just to clear his head. I think sometimes, you know, I would think it's a little bit like the reset in a video game, right? That he feels like he can hit reset, kind of mentally go back to zero, and just try to, you know, focus on having a great second half. And I don't have any doubt that he's going to do that.
Jed, zooming out and looking around the league as the deadline approaches, anything in particular that you're eager to see play out, whether it's the Manny Machado sweepstakes or any particular position you want to see the market for, anything you're particularly curious about?
Not really. I mean, I think that it's going to be, I think like every deadline, our sport has a wild deadline. There's no question. You know, there's going to be a lot of player movement. You know, there's a lot of teams that probably don't feel like this is their year. You know, in particular in the American League, I think there's the way that league is separated. I feel like there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to make moves just because, you know, the teams at the top have kind of run away and hidden from the pack for the most part. So I think you're going to see a lot of selling out of the American League. I think the National League is a little bit more balanced. There are some divisions that have, you know, three or four teams that are in contention. So I think the National League will be a little bit different. Maybe a lot of teams buying in the National League. But I do think there's going to be a lot of sellers.
With the market as it is, the starting pitching market, and I think that's kind of where we were headed in before the garage fiasco situation. It sounds like there may be guys who are just kind of in that middle of the level. You know, whether the Mets decide to do something or nothing with the big guys, is it fair to say that you've got to worry or wonder about the, you know, we talked about relievers, about prices on those kind of being driven up and teams being driven to a place of maybe a little bit of desperation if you are looking for impact arms?
Yeah, you know, I think that you kind of alluded to this earlier. You know, the market for relievers at the deadline has changed dramatically over the last, you know, three or four years. And I do feel like, you know, when you kind of read what teams are looking for, or you talk to, you know, teams on the phone, everyone kind of mentions bullpen, not because they have a bad bullpen, because they know, like, hey, we might need a couple more guys to get through it, right? Because if we're going to go to our bullpen quickly, we have to be aware of that. And so I do think that that's the change in how baseball is played now.
Jed, appreciate it as always. Great talking with you. We'll let you get back to it. And thanks so much for taking the time out this morning.
Nope. Great. Hey, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Jed Hoyer, Cubs general manager, joining us here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You heard it from Jed. First thing we asked him, first thing he said is that Chris Bryant seems like all systems go. And Joe's got the pencil out, going to be able to put him in the lineup.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.